going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Incredibly stupid take. You suck.
That's me at my worst. There's no doubt about that. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Hour number three on a Wednesday afternoon. We'll take you up till 4. Craig Hoffman at that point. Don't forget Nats and Orioles tonight at 6:15. First pitch, 6:45 right here on the Team 980. The NFL draft tomorrow night. We'll have coverage for you starting at 8 after a bonus hour of Craig Hoffman. Linnell Willingham and Toby Altizer will carry you through. Presumably, the Commanders will draft at number 29. And joining us now is the man who made the mock pick in the NFL Nation on ESPN.com, pick for the Commanders, and that's where we'll start, my friend and colleague, John Kime. Mr. Kime, Cakes, how are you, pal?
What up, Russell? How are you, man?
I'm doing okay. It's been a while since I've had you on. I don't like to bother you because you are a man in demand, but I appreciate you always making time for us as well, and it'll be great to see you a couple of nights this weekend. So let's start with the pick that you did make, again, in the NFL Nation. People can check it out, ESPN.com. Right. Everybody kind of picks for their own teams. And you took Maxwell Hairston, the corner out of Kentucky. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I can't tell you I watched a lot of Kentucky football. I know he gets his hands on the ball. I know he creates turnovers. That's so important in today's day and game because you level the playing field. Why, I guess, ultimately did you go there? And I guess, and maybe I'm wrong, from what I've read, he more fits in a zone scheme. And while they play zone here, certainly they also play a little bit more man, I think. I think that's what the numbers tell us, and that's maybe what my eyes tell me. Kind of take me through that.
Yeah, well, first of all, they've met with him a few times, and he was here on their top 30 visits, so there's clearly interest in him. So I will say a big reason why I took him is because other guys that I would have taken were gone.
Right.
And so, but that's picking 29th, right? So that's the life of somebody in that spot. So would they pick him there? I don't know. Like I said, what I do know is there is interest, and he does take the ball away, and he's got that short area quickness. That's vital. And, you know, like there's another guy, Amos, I could have picked him another quarter for Ole Miss. Like, that's a guy that I could have picked as well. And I went back and forth. I like him. I think there's some other corners later in the draft. Quincy Riley, you know, Darian Porter is an intriguing guy. There's other guys late in the draft that you could develop. But I went for him at that point. And the other guy, listen, you know where I went to college.
Like, sure.
Travion Henderson sitting there, and I love the guy.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is to pick who I think they will pick. I don't know if they will pick a running back in the first round. Not everybody wants to do that, especially I think it would be different if this draft weren't so deep at running back that I would have been more apt to go that way for them. But because it is deeper at running back that I went another way, like I could see edge, I could see offensive line there as well. So anyways, But Harrison does, he takes the ball away. These guys need that. The two things Dan Quinn talks about the most from a defensive perspective is affecting the quarterback and taking the ball away. Mm-hmm. They did not take the ball away last year. And the one area that when you watch him that needs to be cleaned up, he's got to tackle better. Now, last year he's dealing with a shoulder injury. How much that played into it, I don't know. You know, there are a couple times I'm watching against Texas where is he giving a little bit too much cushion and then therefore the receiver has more room to make him miss after the catch? Sometimes. So, like, there's things that he can clean up there, but I don't think he's – like, with most of these corners, that's the thing with this draft. Like, same with running back. There are, as somebody else described to me, it's a Baskin flavor – Baskin Robbins type draft. 31 flavors, right. So, and I think with corner, like, some of those guys are like that. I do think that, you know, just not having played it doesn't mean that somebody can't play him either. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I don't know that he wouldn't be able to do that. I don't think so. I think if that were the case, I don't think they would have been had met with him a couple of times.
Right, either. Right. No, good point. John Keim, ESPN with us. You can follow him on Twitter or X at @John_Keim, K-E-I-M. So you mentioned Travion Henderson. I believe you had reported over the weekend, you know, of course, that there was mutual interest and they had met. I could be wrong on that. But
he's one of a bunch of backs that they've met with. People take the one name and then run with it. But there's a number of backs they've met with. He's
okay.
One of them.
That's fair. Yeah. But for sure. I wanted to ask you specifically about him because, again, you're a big Ohio State guy, and certainly he had a decorated career. But down the stretch, and maybe I'm wrong, so maybe you tell me, it looked like Quinshon Judkins kind of took over that main bell cow role. Is Travion Henderson, in your eyes, an every down back in the NFL sustainably, or is he best utilized as a traditional quote-unquote third down back because of that breakaway home run speed that he has?
Well, I would say he's definitely in between. I do not look at him as only a third down back. And when I've talked to people in the league, nor do they. If he were just a third down back, you're not looking at a guy who's going in the first round, possibly, or early second. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think third down type backs, like, you can get them later in the draft because then, you know, you want a guy who's more full-time, right? And so if you're taking him that high, then the league believes he is. Whether or not I do, they do. So what I would say about him, you're right, like, Judkins is really good. He became their power guy. And it's sometimes, like, a matter of style. The funny thing is they have about the same 40 time. It's almost identical. And but I think Travion's a little bit better in the pass game overall as a blocker and as a pass catcher. So that's why people, you know, I know I've talked to some other fans who have said, like, oh, third down back. But then when I talk to guys in the NFL, it's like, no, he's an every down back. But again, what I would say is, having watched his entire career and knowing that the NFL is, you know, obviously a 17-game schedule, possibly going to 18 soon, I want two guys anyway. You know, like, I don't want him touching the ball 20 to 25 times a game very often, because I do think that would be one worry with him or with some other backs is, are you going to wear down? But if you get in that 15 range more often than not, I think that's pretty good. And I think he could handle that. So that's what I would say to your point, like, he's not Derrick Henry. He's not going to come in and be in your every down back all the time, like, and just feed it to him, right? Mm-hmm. I do think you'd want to have another guy just to get, you know, for a couple series a game for sure. And that's why I think the last year at Ohio State, you know, really his last couple of years, he was stayed healthier, and you just saw more what he could do. Early in his career there, he would get hurt a lot. And so that would be the one concern. That's why I say, like, you know, he's not just, he's a three down back. The question is, how many touches do you want per game?
Right,
out of
right.
That? I would definitely want, like, a, you know, you have Brian Robinson here. That's good. You have Eckler to handle other stuff. That's good. I think that would limit the wear and tear.
And we should point out, right, like, those guys are here currently, as you just mentioned, but, you know, both had some fairly significant injury issues, and both, sure, including Jeremy McNichols and Chris Rodriguez, are all on one-year deals. We talked about this earlier. So I think, am I wrong in thinking that might amp up the, maybe not first round, but the necessity to address it early because of those lingering situations?
Well, I definitely think they're going to come out, well, nothing is ever definite with the draft. You know that, right?
Sure.
Like there have been a ton, sometimes like, oh, they're definitely getting an O lineman or receiver, and they come out with no one because the right guy didn't fall to them at whatever spot. I do think in this draft they want to come out with a running back, you know, if at all possible. And it's a deep class, so it meshes well with their desire. Does it have to be a second-round pick? Not necessarily, but is a lower fourth-round pick too late to get the guy that you really want? Possibly. So could there be a movement in this with one of the first two picks to trade back a little bit, get another pick maybe, or you know, improve another pick, whatever it is, like, and get a guy maybe in the early third? Like, is that a possibility? You know what I mean? Like, I do think you'd want one. I don't know, you know, I know like they'll say they're going to look at everything in the first round, but when push comes to shove, there's some spots like, what's the value of that player in that pick at this spot?
Right.
And it's not like, as you know, like when you set up a board, and it may be 1 through 100, let's say, but what's the gap between 20 and 40? It may not be that big. And I was talking to Logan Paulson about this the other day. Like they might set up a horizontal board because like you have so many guys kind of in the same
in
range.
That grouping. Yeah, a lot of people have said between 20 and 60 players are essentially not
pretty close.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
interesting.
And I think like last year was like that with the old lineman. Like Brandon Coleman went in the third round, but somebody told me like, you know, the old lineman last year, there wasn't a big gap between top of the second and middle of the third.
Yeah.
But yet from a fan media perspective, it's like, oh my God, it's a round and a half. But from their perspective, like the grades are pretty close. So I think like the running back class is similar to that. So you could probably get a guy in the third and maybe even in the fourth round that you feel can be a productive back for you.
I don't know who it's going to be, but what you saw twice in person last year about Bucky Irving, like, does that style of back, is that ideally what you're looking for?
For sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think get a good back, whatever that is, right? So there's a few guys, like, who may fit that kind of style in this draft. So, yes, that would be a really good one. Look what Detroit has with Montgomery and Gibbs. Like that's, you know, and so like Gibbs is a first round pick, but he's not their every down back. But
they
he can play every down. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Like he's not just a third down guy. I think that would be kind of what you would see like if they got a Henderson or somebody like that.
I got you.
So I do think you like that style would be ideal. I would, you know, I know they've looked at multiple styles of backs, right? There's power backs, there's, you know, whatever. Because you've got to do your homework on all that. Because you don't want to pass, like, what if you, well, you already got Brian Robinson, you don't need power. But what if you find a guy that you like better? And like you said, contracts are all up after this year.
Yeah.
Ideally, get someone with some juice.
That would be nice.
Exactly. Like, you know, the guy that I always bring up in the middle rounds is a guy like Bashaul Tutin from Virginia Tech.
Yeah.
Dude's got juice.
Yeah,
gotta hold on to the ball better.
Yep.
He's got juice.
I agree.
And you know, I would like if they got a guy like that, like let's go.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like right, I think he would help them, and because he gives you something you don't have, and they're, you know, the ability to get more chunk plays and scare teams from different spots, not just receiver, not just here, but also from here.
He's a little small, though, Bashaul Tutin.
A little bit,
right?
Yeah.
I saw him in person. I went down to my first Virginia Tech game this year, so I saw him in person there. I got banged up a little bit later on in the year, so you kind of worry about that. But, yes, he would definitely.
I don't think he'd be your, like, every down guy in the shirt, but as part of the rotation.
Correct.
He's going to add something. And, you know, like, you're not going to get – you know, like, yes, then it would leave them possibly needing an every down guy next year and get it next year. But this guy would help this year, too.
All right. Before we get to Adam Peters and Lance Newmark yesterday, I wanted to ask you, your new colleague, Peter Schrager, over from Good Morning Football over at ESPN now. So he's come out with his mock draft. He has Shamar Stewart out of Texas A&M. Yeah. I got to be honest with you, John. When I heard some people talk about lack of production, so I was like not expecting much. When I plugged in, you know, just on my computer. I plugged in the tape. I didn't plug in any tape. I just watched it on my damn computer. I walked away more impressed than I thought he was. Maybe he doesn't finish. Maybe he needs some polish, you know, figuring out how to get to the next step. But I was impressed. I was impressed with his ability to stop the run. I liked how he chased plays. I liked backside pursuit, sideline to sideline. All of that. Do you like Shamar Stewart?
Yeah, listen, if that guy – so here's what I'd say with him. Like, and this is where if you're picking top 10, you're going to look at that production much more seriously to me, right? Because, like, you need – you know, you're not – I think it'd be hard to pick a guy top 10 who never gets more than 1.5 sacks. He has top 10 traits. So if he's sitting there at 29, like, listen, he had a lot of pressures. And like you said, he does other things well. What can you unlock in him? And they're – you know, it's funny because Texas A&M has a – they have Nick Scorton there.
Yeah,
and they have what, you know, Shamar Turner is also – he's going to be drafted in the first round. That's a good defensive line. Like, you know, who – what was the issue with that group? Was it coaching? Was it scheme? Was it – you know, was it them? And that's what I want to find out. But if you're picking 29 and that guy is there, you know, I mean, it's not a bad gamble. You know
I
what
agree.
I mean? Like,
I agree.
It's 20. It's a 29th pick. Like, you're getting a guy now. You have to. You know how it is too. It's like with anything with these players, you have to figure out why is he there. But part of it would be that with the reason why he would be there is production. So are you comfortable with it or not? I don't think he'll be there. I really don't. Like, you know, I don't know. Some people think he, you know, top 10. I don't know about that, but I would be surprised. It was one of the few mocks I've seen. And I participated now in a couple of my own for ESPN, then like for some radio stations, and he hasn't been available. So I haven't had that choice.
Right.
But, you know, if he is, like, shoot, you know, and you –
sign me up.
It's not like – that's you could do a lot worse than that.
Is there one edge in this draft, I mean, outside of Abdul Carter, obviously, that's reasonable in terms of maybe he'll be there? That you, John Keim, really likes? Because I know you get after it with the tape, and I know you talk to a lot of people. Is it your guy from Ohio State, whose name I can't pronounce? Is it somebody else?
JTT.
Yeah, JTT.
Listen, so the couple guys, like Ezra Raku from Boston College, I enjoyed watching him because I think he has a mature pass rush game.
I agree.
I think he does a lot of things well. The one problem I had, when you watch some of those tackles, he made some of them look bad, but some of them were really bad.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And so it's like, all right, I want to see a guy who's going to be in the NFL, not selling insurance. You know what I mean?
There was one against Syracuse that I saw. I'm just looking at my notes.
Yeah,
he took like a jab step and an inside move, and he just blew through the guy. And the guy was like, oh, please, give me a break. You know, I mean, look, I guess you can only play against who you can play.
No, I was going to say, I say is I still like him.
Yeah.
Like, I like his traits. The other guy that I really am probably most intrigued by, though, is Oladaju from UCLA.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And he would be a guy in the second round that you can get. Now, they're picking 61. I think that might be a bit of the end of the road for him where he goes. So if you really like him, you may have to, you know, let's say they're able to trade back early second round. You know, maybe you take him at like 5, 6, 7 spots ahead where quote unquote experts say he should go. Okay, fine. You got your guy. You probably have better picks now, too, because of it, right, with the trade. But 61, you might be waiting a little bit long. I think there's some, you know, there's like guys like Kyle Kennard is another guy later, he's probably more of a late second, third round guy. So there are other guys in this draft. I will say, too, I don't think they're going to force that. I think they'll probably end up with one. I don't think they're going to force it because of what they've done in free agency. Is the line, the pass rush with the front group, is it going to be much different than it was last year? I don't, you know, like I know Dante Fowler, 10.5 sacks. Nobody really went hard after him in free agency. Why is that? You know what I mean? So, you know, with the 4-man rush, it wasn't an effective tool for them, despite him. And I liked what Dante did. Like, don't get me wrong. But, you know, the point is you didn't lose T.J. Watt.
Yes.
So, do you have to get one in the high rounds? Well, if you can, like, let's say let's say with your first two picks, you end up with an O-line and a running back or O-line in a corner, whatever it is, you know, you probably still feel pretty good, right? And, you know, I think ideally you get an edge rusher for sure, because it would be nice to get more youth along that defensive line. Like Johnny Newton's the youngest guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to get someone else that you can start building with. So ideally you get that. I don't know that they'll force him, but it is a good draft. There's a lot of choices with it. Landon Jackson's another one.
Yeah, I like him from Arkansas.
That's another one. Yeah, he's the other guy that I like too. He's got a lot of good traits. And here's the other thing, Chris. The one thing, and going back to the free agency moves, what I liked is you've now created a situation where you do not need a guy to come in and be a three-down guy for
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say if there's a guy that's like, well, he's just a pass rusher now, fine. Because you do need them, you know, and if you can, you work with him to help as a run defender.
Well, that was my question for you. Because of what they lost in Fowler, and he struggled against the run, as we all know. Do you think that is more the prototype of what they're looking for, or do you think the prototype of what they're looking for is more of a balanced hybrid edge, meaning somebody who can hold up and anchor a little bit against the run? Considering what they did in free agency.
Yeah. I think what they did in free agency too is I think they've, well, we'll see. Like, you still want to see how it works, right? They've added more size up front, you know, and so that could help, should help. We'll see. But I think the one thing that Quinn will talk about is the two things on defense. He said it before the start of training camp last year, and I've just kind of repeated this over and over because it was telling, you know, affect the passer, take the ball away,
mm-hmm.
right? Those are the two things. Can you find someone who can affect the passer? And if you can find that guy, you know, like, again, if it's Oladeju, great. I would say, yeah, I think that to me has to be the primary thing that you can do
mm-hmm.
is get after the passer.
Got it. Makes sense.
Well, but also, like, I do think it has to be, you can't be, like, Fowler, you know, wasn't as good against the run, and you saw, like, shoot, I go back to that first play against the Eagles, and
mm-hmm.
he starts up, starts inside, spins, trips up Bobby Wagner. If it's played right,
disaster,
a 6-yard touchdown
right.
yard run is a 0-yard gain
yep.
or 1-yard gain.
Yep.
So, like, you just need someone who, you know, and I don't want to put it all like,
sure.
Listen, the guy had a good year. I don't want to, like, Dante did a nice job, but, like, but I think you have to be able to play the run better, too.
Sure.
But I do think primarily get after the passer.
No
and here's
doubt.
The other thing, right? Not to belabor this, but get that athletic guy. Like, look at, you know, Jalen Hurst, make plays on the run,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, guys who can make plays and run, that's where the game has gone.
Yep.
So you want that athletic edge who can help combat those kind of quarterbacks.
I got one more for you. John Keim, ESPN. Make sure you check out the NFL Nation mock draft. Again, John taking Maxwell Harrison out of Kentucky. Schrager's got his latest draft, Shamar Stewart. Yesterday, you know, we played it, of course, on the air here. So maybe I missed something. Did you, like, walk away going, oh, okay, I have a really good feel for what they're thinking? Or was it a lot of gamesmanship and kind of, I don't know what the right word is, smoke and mirrors, I guess?
I walked away thinking, I've heard this now for 30 straight years. That's what I walked away thinking. Because it wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so Nikki Javala pretty much could have held the press conference in 5 minutes before they showed up. Because, like, you know, I'll sit next to her and she's like, this is what they're going to say.
Yep.
And it's pretty much,
pretty much what they said.
If you have the bingo card, and it's what everybody says, like, you look at every press conference around the league, guys, we could do anything. We could take anybody.
Yeah.
You know,
best player available. We'll
right.
see how
now,
the board falls to us. We want to take a commander.
Right, exactly. They all have. But I do think that it's sincere for them is they, like, because of what they did in free agency, they don't have to go, like, if they wanted a tackle, left tackle, well, they don't have to do that because they
Correct.
Traded for a guy, clearly.
Correct.
But if you want to bolster your line, you can do that if you like, but you don't have to do it right there. You don't have to get an edge right there because you have, as Adam Peters said, like, they have a group of guys that can go play corner. Like, I took Harrison, but they've got Jones, Samuelsville, and Lattimore.
Yep.
They don't need a corner to go play. To me, that's the reason why I even put him is that it gives you another true outside corner. And everything you hear from people around the league or whatever is that Samuelsville, Jones, can play outside best inside.
Yep.
So, you know what I mean? So I think that's why I went there, but they don't have to do anything because they've added, you know, created more, you know, they've created less of a need at each spot to get to that. You have to get that guy at that pick.
Yeah.
So that's the part that I definitely believe. You know, now would they take anybody there? Well, no, because there are going to be some guys, I'm sure, they're like, yeah, we wouldn't take this running or this position, for example, in this round, but they're not going to say that. And, but I do think, you know, like I said, like what they talked about is what 31 other teams said, pretty similar, and what I've heard for many years. And, you know, it's what I expect. And it's the fun pre-draft exercise. The best part is after the round where you can find out more.
Yeah.
You know, that's the deal. You know, the pre-drafter, then, all right, come on.
Yeah. And they'll all be available. Well, Adam Peters will be available, I guess, what, after round one and after rounds two and three, and then Lance Newmark on Saturday. And John Kahn will be there covering it all for ESPN. My friend, thank you so much for making time for us. Really appreciate it. I'll see you tomorrow night, and looking forward to that and always soaking up some wisdom. Thank you so much for doing this, and hope the family is well.
I appreciate the warning for tomorrow. Thanks, Chris. I always enjoy, you know, I enjoy.
Hey, John, take your dinner. Take your dinner because the rooster's coming to get it. I'll see you tomorrow.
Look forward to it, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it. That is the dean of all deans of the Redskins / Commanders beat, the great John Kime. The venerable John Kime. Make sure you follow him at John_Kime, K-E-I-M, and watch him, read him on ESPN and ESPN.com. We take a time out right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, thanks to John Keim for joining us from ESPN. Hope you guys enjoyed that. John is great. Lots of good information there. Boy, I wish I could sit here and tell you I had a real good feel for what they're going to do with 29, and I just don't. I don't think anybody should. I don't think anybody does. And you heard John kind of reference this a couple times during the interview, and I've said it as well. I mean, the difference between picking second overall, third overall, fifth overall, eighth overall, whatever, is you have no way, no chance to accurately predict who's going to be there. Because teams do crazy crap all the time. How many times do we see guys that were consistently mocked in the first round drop into the second round? Or vice versa? You know, like Kai mentioned a Trey Amos from Ole Miss. I've seen him all over the board, bottom part of the first round, but I've seen him a lot in the second round. Well, what happens if a team just falls in love with him, is enamored, and they draft him at 13 overall? It can happen. It can happen. What happens if there's, I don't know, three or four good options, as we would define, at edge? Do they just take the best one they like? Or do they say, well, there's three or four. I got a trade. I can pick up an extra pick, even if it's not a great trade. I move down three spots, and I get an extra pick to move around the board and maybe move up from 61, as we were kind of talking about. You know, so there's all sorts of different options. And the biggest thing is, who's there? And there's no way anybody could know. There's no way anybody could know. All right, we'll do a little bit more on the NFL draft, of course. We'll wrap up the hour. Craig's up coming up at 4 o'clock. He's got a shortened show. Nats on deck at 6:15. Nats Orioles. But first, a trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980. All right, indeed. Tonight is game two of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals, Capital One Arena. Puck drop just after 7 o'clock, 6:45. The pregame coverage, 106.7 The Fan, the Odyssey app. It is the Montreal Canadiens trailing 1-0 to the Capitals, who won game one in overtime after blowing a 2-0 lead. Alex Ovechkin, his first career game-winning overtime playoff goal. And the Capitals are expected to get Alex Alexiev back in the pipes, back on the ice tonight after taking one in the mouth with a stick in the third period on Monday night. Logan Thompson once again expected to be in the pipes for the Capitals as they try and take a commanding 2-0 lead. Elsewhere in the NHL, St. Louis, Winnipeg in that series, let me double check that. Sorry, I had the wrong date up here. I'll get you the rest of the NHL schedule when we come back. Orioles, Nationals tonight. Game two of that set. Last night, the Nationals with a 7-0 win. Mitchell Parker with a great start. Orioles only one hit, and that was just a couple of days after allowing 24 runs to the Reds. The Nationals adding to that two-game damage. Now, first pitch right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app with Charlie Slows and Dave Jagler at 6:45. And the NFL draft, as we just talked about with John Keim of ESPN, is tomorrow night. The Commanders right now, scheduled number 29 pick. We'll have extensive coverage for you. An extra hour of Craig Hoffman until 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And then Linnell Willingham and Toby Altizer carry you through the first round and more right here on the Team 980. And that's what's trending.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, so Mel Kiper Jr.'s got his final big board out. Ooh, all right. Travis Hunter is number one, followed by Abdul Carter and Mason Graham. Like, is there anybody more than anybody just overlooks and doesn't even buzz about, doesn't even talk about, than Mason Graham, right? An interior defensive tackle. Only had 3.5 sacks, and he's going in the top five almost shortly. He's got Ashton Gentry at number four, then Shedeur Sanders at number five. He has remained true, Mel Kiper, that he likes Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward. And that's fine. Everybody likes something a little bit different. I mean, again, AMAC came in, you know, Paulie called up. Shedeur Sanders is going to be good, I think. I hope. I don't know if he's going to ever be great. Was he great at Colorado? I think he was tough. I think he was resilient. I think he was a competitor. I think he was consistent. I think he was accurate. I think he was a leader. I think he's a good pocket passer. I don't think he's got explosive traits. I don't think he's got an explosive arm. I don't think he's got explosive mobility. I don't think he's got tremendous anticipation and accuracy. I mean, he's accurate. Tremendous anticipation, tremendous accuracy that he can make any throw, anywhere, anytime. I don't know. And when you have to deal with daddy from a distance or at any point, is that something that you're strong enough minded as a coach, as a staff, as a organization to deal with? That is a thing. Even though daddy, Dion, hasn't been a pain in the ass publicly during this process, which I thought he was going to be because he was threatening to be, I think he absolutely can be a pain in the ass and stir the hornet's nest, good and bad, with whoever drafts him. And you've got to be prepared for that. Like, the old Redskins would think, no big deal, no problem, we got this. No, nothing to see here. And then every other day there would be a headline. And a controversy, and a problem, and an issue, and it would seep into the locker room, and guys would be exhausted dealing with it, and media would be exhausted dealing with it. You've got to be strong-minded. You've got to be like, I mean, it would help if you had a great relationship with Dion somehow, but what have you. We'll see. He's got Cam Ward right behind Shedeur Sanders. Listen, I'm not the biggest Cam Ward guy either, you know? Look at him at the end of that Georgia Tech game. Look at him for the first 2.5 quarters or whatever of the Cal game. There were long stretches where Cam Ward did not play well against Virginia Tech. Yeah, long stretches where Cam Ward did not play well for Miami. Now, maybe that wasn't all his fault. It wasn't, but you get the point. He has Omarion Hampton, who we talked about off and on throughout the process, and today, who I would not be upset about if the Commanders took at 29, at number 14. 14 overall. I mean, and he says once he sees daylight, he's gone. Ran a 4.46 at the combine. That's not like blazing anymore. But for 220, not bad. Not bad. Pretty good receiver out of the backfield. Not bad in pass protection. I think Omarion Hampton represents the best opportunity for the Commanders, if they wanted to go running back, to upgrade overall at that position and to get like the ideal blend. The ideal blend. Just looking at who he's got, again, this is just Mel Kiper, so relax. Ranked 24th, Mykel Williams out of Georgia. Again, edge pass rusher. You know, only 5 sacks, but a bunch of different things, tackles for loss, all that. A player I haven't studied at all and haven't heard, quite honestly, a lot of buzz about. I did hear Logan Paulson talk about him. Is Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama. I wouldn't hate that because I still think they need more depth. I wouldn't hate that. I mentioned Gray Zabel earlier. Again, another player I have not studied. Just like my thought, North Dakota State, I know Carson Wentz came from there. I got it. But so did Trey Lance. I know there's been some offensive linemen that have come from North Dakota State, have come from Hobart, and have gone on to great careers. I got it. I don't know. I can't wrap my arms around this. He does have Shamar Stewart at 27, Jackson Dart at 28, Donovan Jackson, another guard at Ohio State, at 29, and Kenneth Grant, the other defensive tackle from Michigan at 30. So there's
28 to who for Jackson Dart?
No, this isn't a mock draft. This is a his big board ranking. So okay, gotcha. Jackson Dart is 28th. And remember, in one of the mock drafts that we talked about today, you had Jackson Dart. You had the Giants moving up for Jackson Dart. And by the way, Peter Schrager has Jackson Dart going also to the Giants via trade with the Rams at 26. And he says, if the draft falls this way, I think the Rams would be okay with this. They don't currently have a second-round pick. But if they agreed to this deal, they'd have 4 picks on day 2, which is second and third round. I think the Giants would pounce on Dart. I just am not 100% certain. So that's a wishy-washy way of saying they kind of like Jackson Dart, but maybe not enamored in love with him. At 26, I'd probably be willing to take a chance on Jackson Dart. I'm not in love with Jackson Dart like some others are. I know there's a lot of production. I think he probably has a better arm than Shador. I don't know. I saw him in some big spots, man. I casually watch college football all day on Saturday. I'm in and out, change games constantly. So I can't watch every throw, whatever. And I'm too busy in the spring to break down all of these guys. Just from what I've seen, what I know of Jackson Dart, to me, a little too inconsistent. You know, in 26 in the draft, 25, whatever, would tell you essentially that. Would tell you essentially that. You have to live with some stuff while he learns how to play. And again, in case you missed it earlier, Shamar Stewart is Peter Schrager's pick at 29. And we talked about that with Keim. I like Shamar Stewart a lot. And I think you'll be hearing some of that with Greg Hoffman, I think, tomorrow. Just letting you know. So you have that. The other thing that I wanted to get to here real quickly as we wrap up shop is this. Adam Schefter had some draft buzz, some draft intel. What he's hearing. Well, I wanted to bring that up for you because why not, right? Again, this is just what people are saying. What agents are saying, what executives are saying, what scouts are saying. Nothing is for sure. Although, as he pointed out, last year, one NFL general manager said, quote, there is an undercurrent of support for Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix, even though his team didn't have a first-round grade on either, and both of those guys went in the top 12. Right? And the one general manager basically said Penix could go as high as number 8 to the Falcons, and boom. So, again, Schefter's talking to somebody. Now, the latest that he has on Shador Sanders, he's talked consistently about how interested the Giants were. He's basically said the Giants relocated to Boulder. Now, clearly they have an interest. I have no doubt that they have an interest or a strong curiosity or they like him. The question is, do they love him? Because you better love somebody at three if you're going to take somebody at three. Like is different than love. And here's what I mean by that. If I like Shedeur Sanders, if I think he can be a good starter long term, I can't take him at number three, but I can take him at number six. We talked about a Raiders trade. I can take him at number seven if the Jets wanted him. I could take him at number nine. Doesn't seem like New Orleans is into him, even though they desperately need a quarterback. Other teams, Pittsburgh maybe gets really itchy. I don't know. But I could not take Shedeur Sanders at number three. Now, they may feel a different way, and because it's the quarterback and because they're desperate, even though they signed Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and they have Tommy Cutlets, they could certainly stash and dash. But at number three, man, don't you kind of think when your job's on the line and you won three games last year, you kind of need somebody to make a quick impact? Maybe it's not an immediate impact, but a quick impact? Don't you kind of think that? So I think this is more, hey, we like Shedeur, we're interested, we think it could work, what have you, but maybe our intelligence allows us to really trade down. And again, see if we can boost up some other things. All right, so you have that. The Steelers, according to Schefter, have not been planning to draft a quarterback in round one. But if Shedeur Sanders is there, all options are on the table. Their general manager today said Aaron Rodgers' situation not going to affect them. If the Steelers take Shedeur Sanders, or if they take Jackson Dart or whoever, how does that not affect Aaron Rodgers? Like, Aaron Rodgers is going to look around and say, do I really want to go to a place where they've already got me basically 1 foot out the door, even if, and play for a discount and deal with that circus? I think if, like, the Steelers draft a quarterback in the first round, I think Aaron Rodgers might retire or might just hold out until somebody gets injured in OTAs or training camp or whatever. I could see that. I could see that. All right, we'll do more of this tomorrow because we're just running out of time. Coming up next, Dumb Dumb of the Day. We'll wrap it up as we always do right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we wrap it up this way. It's normally time for Dumb Dumb of the Day, but today it's going to be Dumb Dumbs of the Day. The Los Angeles Angels. Yes, the baseball team. Who have sucked for years and years and years and years and have had bloated payrolls and have sucked for years and years and years. And nobody, including Anthony Rendon or Mike Trout, can stay healthy. And they have sucked for many years. Are pissed off because their team's travel schedule, which they call a debacle, is definitely not fair. Because they have to play an evening game against the Pirates tomorrow night at home in Anaheim. Before flying to Minnesota, which is in the central time zone, to start a three-game series the following night, Friday night, in Minnesota. And the players are upset. Mike Trout said, it's not ideal for sure. I don't know when we're supposed to land, but it's going to be early Friday morning. We got to play that night. And the worst part about it is, oh, they're going to play a day game the next day. Oh, no. They're scheduled to play a 6:30 game Pacific time Thursday evening. That's the latest allowable starting time, according to the baseball CBA, which is already ridiculous. Of course, teams get a bigger crowd at night than they do during the day, especially when school is out and whatever. Kenley Jansen, a veteran closer, who you know, says, I don't think it's healthy for anybody to finish playing a night game like that. Get into Minnesota at 6 in the morning. Then you've got to play a 7 o'clock game. Listen, here's the deal. I can read you every quote. A bunch of players are quoted. Shut up. Shut up. I'm sorry, you make millions and millions of dollars. You're going to get a really comfortable hotel bed. You're going to get your own room. You're going to be able to sleep from 6:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning until whenever you want. You don't have to be at the ballpark until 3 o'clock. Shut up. I can't stand when people go crazy over the Nationals. Sometimes when they play a Thursday night game in Pittsburgh and they've got to play a Friday night game somewhere else. Stop. Now, if you got to play a Friday afternoon game in Chicago, that's different. Shut up. You're traveling in luxurious accommodations. Shut up. You're playing baseball. You're not doing brain surgery. Enough. It's just the continued ruination and spoilization of society. We'll see you back here tomorrow at 1 after a game 2 between the Montreal Canadiens and the Washington Capitals. Thanks to AMAC. Thanks to John Keim. Craig Hoffman is coming up next. See you at Capital One Arena tonight if you're out and about. Enjoy the game either way. Nats Orioles right here on the Team 980. Following Craig starting at 6:15. See you tomorrow at 1. Adios on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.